BlakeRadio.com.
This is Booker T.
I'm Roddy Piper.
Hey, this is Shawn Michaels.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, Wrestle Talk Radio.
Dig it!
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
Because I'm the champion by myself, all by myself.
TNA.
Did you need them then? Don't need them now.
And the indies.
You say you don't know where a macho man is coming from?
With your host.
My curiosity is killing me just like a cat would be killed by the curiosity, yeah.
Tim Stein.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Omega.
Who's all is really?
Mace.
I am the type of person that doesn't talk negative.
Jack Feist.
The madness, yeah! Wild, hand in hand, isn't that unbelievable?
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
I'm your friend, but if I ever see you in the ring, I can beat you, don't you know? Yeah, yeah, yeah!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
After I beat you with that big elbow and pin you 1, 2, 3, guaranteed victory!
Need a little excitement? Step into a Slim Jim, oh yeah!
Thief in the night, without a sign, without a warning, we already am prepared to fight. Raise up your swords, don't be afraid.
Is it true what they say? The words are weapons, and if it is, then everybody best stop stepping, cause I got sand in my pocket that'll bend your lock, and on top of all of these pockets, say come with me, Wade. It's just about to break. It's more.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another week of WrestleTalk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, proudly brought to you by BotchMerch.com. That's right, we are actually turning a profit thanks to our sponsors, and we did it without having to piggyback on free servers or rip off our listeners $5 a month to do it. I am Mace, and I'm not really with you. I am currently sitting at my desk at work, final 2 weeks of my contract, before I make my return here to the Wild Talk Radio Network on June 3rd. But in the meantime, I will leave you for the rest of the intro with my Boxpocalypse partner, the man who shall protect us all from zombies and boxes, Omega. Take it away, buddy.
Wasn't informed Mace was taking my job. Good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of WTR Sunday Night here at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for turning the audio down when I begin. This is the be-all, end-all, the Omega. And today, tonight, well, actually about 5 minutes ago, we finished up with WWE Over the Limit. I get the distinct feeling all of us have pretty much hit our limits, and we'll get to that here in a bit. Joining me tonight, though Macho Man did not introduce him, I will suggest cream of the crop, Alan Wojcik.
Hey, good evening, everybody.
We also have with us Jackie Feist.
Hello.
And of course, as always, whether we like it or not, Mr. Tim Stein.
And we don't.
No, I'm not suffering a malfunction. I'm just trying to decide if I even want to talk to you tonight, Omega, you bugger.
Ooh.
Hey, you can be replaced by a pre-recorded Australian. You just watch your mouth, son.
Yeah, and you can be replaced by someone who doesn't steal jokes from the chat.
That lets out 95% of the people here. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, proudly brought to you by iBlack.com and BotchMerch.com. Hey, it's the home of unlimited, unique wrestling merchandise, BotchMerch.com. Please check out, yeah, botched merch, okay, limited, unique limited wrestling merchandise. Oops, somebody buggered up, and it wasn't me. Anyway, check out the sponsors. Go to iBlock.com. The place is endorsed by Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels. And also check out BotchedMerch.com. You get some pretty interesting things. I'm planning on purchasing about 100 bumper stickers from these guys. So, yeah. Hi, everybody. How are you?
I am enjoying a fresh bottle of Mexican Coca-Cola.
Oh, that's the good shit. It's got real sugar instead of that fructose glucose crap.
Yeah.
That reminds me. My sister will be coming back from Mazatlan sometime at the end of the month. I got to get her to bring me a couple of cases of Mexican bottles.
Oh, it is good stuff.
And people are wondering. There might be one or two people wondering what the hell we're talking about.
I'm always wondering what the hell you're talking about.
What was that, yeah. Jackie?
I am always wondering what the hell you're talking about.
Well, we'll get to the peanut gallery in a second. Kind of busy at the moment talking to Omega, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for those unaware, down in Mexico, sugar is actually affordable enough to actually put into Coca-Cola as it's intended. So a bottle of Coke from Mexico is actually the purest stuff you can get.
Well, you see, the formula that they're using in Mexico is the original formula. It was changed in, I do believe, the mid-60s up in North America, Canada and the United States. Because, yeah, corn syrup is a fuck lot cheaper than cane sugar.
Now, only I get a little cocaine in here and get the original formula.
Ooh, hey, we might get in trouble with Sherlock Holmes if we did that.
Might be worth it.
Yeah, you never know. Anyway, talk about stealing jokes. How you doing, Alan?
Hey, I'm here.
Still awake?
Yeah.
How are your New York Rangers doing there in the NHL playoffs?
A lot closer than any of your teams on this network. They're a tough guy.
Oh.
You know what? You know what? That's not true, because I'm actually cheering for the Los Angeles Kings.
And wagon jumper, bandwagon jumper, and they're only one game away from getting their ass kicked in four by us, so.
Yeah, whatever, man, you're such a
talk about this, let's talk the pay-per-view, so
We're gonna talk the pay-per-view and get out of here so you can go to bed, don't worry about it, but,
I'm gonna do it going to bed, this was just, this pay-per-view, this is like watching, it's like watching the Avengers yesterday, I watched, it's like, great movie, yeah, it was great, first act, really good, second act, third act, hooray, and then don't forget, stay for the absolute end. Don't leave when that guy who Omega needs to tell me who the heck is the guy that showed up. I don't know who it was.
Okay, yeah, well.
I'm in trouble. Hold on.
Well, we've got one movie reference from Alan so far. You guys, in case you don't know the game, we're doing another two movie references and about four name drops before he goes to bed. Just so you know.
I'm going to message this to Alan so as to not spoil the surprise mid-credit teaser.
Yeah, there you go. Which was not at the very end. It was halfway through it. Anyway, we're about to talk Over the Limit. But hey, Jackie, how you doing, hon?
I'm doing very well. How are you, Tim?
Oh, I'm absolutely fan-dippy-tastic. Thanks for asking. So, yeah, Over the Limit. A little bit different tonight, kids, because they actually did a few things on YouTube. Now, they did something a little bit different. We were talking about that in chat as we were watching what was going on, and a couple of questions came up. I had a couple of questions come up. But starting off on YouTube, we had Kane taking on Zack Ryder, and I do believe that Jackie went squee. Or was that, Lindsay went squee.
It was Lindsay that went squee. I was unfortunately helping my aunt set up her new computer. I didn't make it here until after that was already over.
Okay, so it was Cowboy Chick who went squee. She'll actually type it in the chat room. This is exactly what she said, and we will quote. Go ahead, Cowboy Chick. Type in the chat room what you typed in Skype chat. And if I remember correctly, Kane came out victorious.
He did.
Mm-hmm. He didn't get the pinfall with the 3-foot penis, did he?
No, he didn't.
Yeah,
I think he's.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a fun conversation last night. I'm amazed that this conversation happened and Lindsay and I did not start it.
Technically Vince McMahon started it.
Yeah.
Madden kind of perpetuated it.
No, let's go #blame Will.
I'm just saying. And then, you know, like, Will popped out. And, you know, to tell you the truth, Jackie, it doesn't surprise me that Will actually brought it up.
Well, I've never met Will before. This was actually our first time meeting, so I'll take your word for it. Are we going to have, are Lindsay and I going to have to battle him for the biggest fangirl role?
There's a good, distinct possibility. If you don't know Will well, then you're going to have to tune into CB Radio one of these nights and find out. But, yeah. So that was the first match that they showed on YouTube. I guess they were calling it Dark Match, you know, Dark Match number one. And then the second thing to happen on YouTube, giving it away for free, kind of like, go ahead, Omega, make the joke.
You've said that.
I'm educating Alan. Hang on.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm a DC Comics kid, not a Marvel kid, so I was kind of like, who, what?
Giving it away for free, kind of like Lita at a charity wrestling event. There you go.
Wow. Insert evil joke here.
Yeah, pretty much. So, yeah, people of Battle Royal, and on YouTube, they went to black just as Christian came out. Now, they finished the People's Battle Royal as the first match on the pay-per-view, already in progress. Now, yeah, sure, first match, but not officially the first match. And one of the speculations being thrown out there by the guy who's known as just the producer, he actually figures, oh, they did that to get more pay-per-view buys. I'll agree with that, but I also think that they did that to get more hits on their YouTube for the next pay-per-view event as well. So it's like a twofold thing, don't you think?
I don't see anybody at the last minute going, I'm going to watch 60 Minutes in CBU. No, wait a minute, there's a Battle Royal going to open the show? I must watch this. Hell no.
It wasn't the Battle Royal, it was more Christian.
Christian returning full-time after being out from injury, only actually competing once since November. So, yeah, you know, there are a lot of peeps out there who want to get their peep on, as it were.
Okay.
Peep power.
I wanted Tyson Kidd versus Cody Rhodes, and I got robbed. Damn you, creative.
Yeah, there you go. So Christian wins the Battle Royal, which means it's his choice. He can either take on the U.S. champ or the Intercontinental champion.
Can I bring
down the road during the pay-per-view?
Can I bring up a point, Tim?
Yeah, I suppose you can.
So Hawkins and Ryder came out wearing pink and black. I sat there and go, that ain't right. And then Tyson Kidd doesn't come out in pink and black. I said, that ain't right. They should have swapped colors. Just, you know, a heart person should be wearing pink and black, not other people. That's just my preference.
Well, you would think about it, but Tyson Kidd is not a member of the Hart family. Well, at least not yet.
Not yet. But, you know, he's a Hart dynasty, you know what I mean?
He will go down in professional wrestling trivia as being the last ever dungeon graduate.
Right. But he has that connection.
Yeah, so the connection is there, and I see where, you know, I see your point.
Right.
And, you know, as far as that goes, I don't really care. So, whatever.
Yeah, Regal got a big pop, though, tonight.
What's that?
Regal got a big pop in this match.
Yeah, speaking about Regal, did you hear the crowd actually just razz when he got eliminated? That kind of surprised me. Kind of. I mean, they were really hot for Regal, and they really let everybody know they were pissed off that he got eliminated. But
I guess it always surprises me when a WWE audience actually shows respect for someone who deserves it.
Right.
Yeah, kind of shocking. Where was the pay-per-view tonight anyway?
St. Louis.
Oh, good old Missouri. That explains.
Was it in North Carolina?
Was it in Carolina? Where the hell was it?
I thought it was in St. Louis. I could be wrong.
Oh, good Lord.
Over the limit.
In Raleigh, North Carolina.
Raleigh, North Carolina. Okay. Can I just make a clarification? The Hart reference doesn't count as a bingo thing because it was not me who brought it up. It was Rock.
Oh,
and,
God.
If you guys covered the square, you have to uncover it because the Hart reference did not come from me, or it did not originate from me.
Tim, we're not playing bingo tonight.
Not even playing bingo anymore.
We're not playing bingo tonight.
I just want to, you know, make sure just in case.
We're playing tic-tac-toe. Just saying. Playing tic-tac-toe tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, then you got to take the X or the O out of that square because it doesn't count if you lead me to it, so forget it. That just, no. See, I knew you were playing some kind of game. So yeah, Christian wins and he gets to choose who he wants to score off. Initially, he picks Santino Marella, and I was initially disappointed that he would pick Santino.
Did he ever actually point at anybody? Can anybody clarify that? I don't remember seeing it. All I just remember is seeing Cole going, "He's taking on Santino," because the camera happened to be behind Marella.
Well, they were, yeah, he did point to Marella. Marella held up the Cobra, and they did that whole back and forth thing. And he didn't say Santino, he said Santina. Yet once again, one of my pet peeves about Michael Cole, one among, I don't know, 973. So. But, we'll get to that in just a quick second. Up next we have the, WWE Tag Team Championship match. And this was the official first match of the pay-per-view with the tag team champs Kofi Kingston and Truth coming out to face Dolph Ziggler and Jack Swagger. Pretty good match, don't you think, Jackie?
I missed that one. I wasn't back from what I was doing yet.
Okay, well, I'm not going to go through all of the until we find. Which one did you see first?
The first one that I came in on, I believe, was Punk and Brian.
I'm not going to talk to you until we get to Punk and Brian. Alan.
Thank you.
Alan.
Yeah, the Gladiator title's on the line, and I like the pairing of these four. They've got really good chemistry, and the next one's in a month at No Way Out. I could see them try to carry this to No Way Out. And I like R-Truth and Kofi, and Swagger Ziggler have pretty much been established as a duo now, so who knows? But those belts, and I've said it once, say it again. Good God. Put them in the basement with the Are You Serious crew.
Those damn belts look like pennies that were run over by a really big freight train. Omega.
Meh.
No, you can't do that. That's Mace's thing.
He stole my thing. I'm going to steal his thing, goddammit.
Yeah, but you didn't copyright your thing. His thing's copyright.
You're gimmick infringer everywhere now.
It's intellectual rights to consider here.
Okay. He's got lawyers.
Whereas I am an intellectual and he has no rights.
That reminds me of me and my brother. We share the traits of an idiot savant. He's the idiot, I'm the savant. Figure it out yourselves, kids. Anyway, so yeah, the champions retain those god-awful belts. I don't know if I was Kofi and R-Truth, I might conspire to drop the damn things until they place them with something that looks a little less tacky. Just saying.
Yeah, I gotta agree. Those belts are pretty fucking stupid looking.
Hey, you're not allowed to talk till CM Punk. What are you doing?
Oh, shut up.
Go to your corner.
Yeah, okay, no, Jackie, have your little mini rant about the belts.
It's not a rant, they're just ugly, but...
Well, make it a rant, goddammit, we're missing Mace, it's still 2 weeks before he comes back.
No, Tim, we have a Mace rant tonight, it's a teaser.
Oh, never mind, Jackie, shut up. So, Kofi and R-Truth, they retain the belts, and we move on to the next match on the night, the Divas Championship match. How many people, hands up, how many people use, this is the potty break. Okay, never mind hands up because we can't see you on radio. How many people left the viewing during this match?
Well, I stayed. The only time I left was when I knew the laryngitis promos were running.
Yeah. Well, I went and cooked some hamburgers while this match was on. So you get to
shut up for a few minutes with Jackie and let me and Omega go hashtag we want karma.
No.
Actually,
no,
I still watched it because the kitchen's like right there.
Actually, this was the match that was going when I started the stream. I just got up and went and made something to eat.
There you go, Omega.
Actually, I took this match to do a little bit of audio editing.
Oh, dear God.
This was a god-awful Divas match.
It was typical WWE women in the ring wearing skimpy outfits and not a whole bunch of entertaining action, really.
Somebody left a wake-up call for that crowd. Oh, my God.
At the end of the match, Beth Phoenix winds up not winning. Layla retains.
Hashtag we want karma.
Yeah. Layla's kind of disappointing. You know, she actually had a halfway decent gimmick going with Lay Cole, and now she's been reduced to the stereotype smiling face.
Yep.
But she's British, which makes it hot for certain people.
Yeah. And at this
like
point,
like yourself,
in time,
Alan.
No.
Saw something coming.
I like the French one that's no longer there, which, hey, just foreshadowing.
What, are you talking about Maurice?
I can't say that name. Isn't that copyright? No, that's her real name.
That's her real name, Dave. She's allowed to use it.
That's probably copyrighted by somebody, too. And they're like, nope, you must change your name.
No, she has to use her full name, Maurice Ouellette.
Yes.
Never mind.
Doesn't sound good
when
it came out of your mouth, though.
Alan, you owe me $15 for today's use of your name.
That'd be interesting. Maurice had to pay WWE 25 cents every time somebody mentioned her name. Maurice. Now she owes him a dollar. So
keep Mizamin around.
Here you go. Moving on, because we don't really want to talk about the women. We've got the World Heavyweight Championship match. Sheamus, the champion, taking on Randy Orton, taking on Alberto Del Rio, taking on Chris Jericho in a fatal four-way. Now, remember, everybody, the stipulations, the champ didn't need to be pinned to lose the title.
So, fatal four-way.
That's what I said. There are, believe it or not, there are like five people in the world who don't know what fatal four-way means.
So if I get my math right, they have a 25% chance of winning as a champion?
And a 75% chance of losing.
Okay, I'm just making sure we got
such a bullshit stipulation. If this was Alberto Del Rio, Sheamus, Randy Orton, and let's say Zach Gowen, your odds are not 25%.
Okay, well, yeah, you're right. They're a little bit closer to 50. A little bit closer to 50, more like 33 and a third.
Wow.
1-3. So, match back and forth. It was pretty good. They had a bunch of really nice false finishes throughout the entire match. One thing, I'm not sure, I think it was Lindsay who pointed it out. It seemed like they weren't doing three and four people in the ring at a time. They would, like, pair off, and it'd be like your standard one-on-one, and then it would switch to the other two.
That would have been me, actually. I just said, is it me, or is this fatal four-way a bunch of singles matches?
Well, I knew it was somebody with sagging breasts who brought it up. Yeah. Sorry, Ellen. Oh, blow. Cheap shot.
Pacing-wise, it works, though.
Yeah. It works pacing-wise, yeah, but it doesn't really utilize everything you can take advantage of in a fatal four-way match when you have four athletes in the ring at the same time. And it's kind of typical WWE MO to do that just because it simplifies the action. You don't have to come up with anything complex if all you're booking are miniature one-on-one matches.
Yeah, it's not like an ROH scramble or a Frey match in Dragon Gate USA where all of a sudden it's spots everywhere. They're in the crowd. They're over here. They're at the popcorn vendor. And they were like, okay, Randy, Chris, nap time. You two go.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, Sheamus retains the title, but boy, they sure teased that Chris Jericho was going to win on more than a few occasions.
Yeah, good stuff.
My question to you, Tim, is what do they do with Chris Jericho now?
You know, I swear to God, if they hadn't put a belt on him before now, he's come back to be a lame duck and stay that way till he buggers off come summer.
It more or less seems like typical WWE right now where they've neglected their young talent for so long. They are limping through with hired talent. They did it for The Rock. They're doing it for Lesnar. It seemed like Chris Jericho was just something to kind of carry weight for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Which explains why they're trying to get Batista back, too.
Yeah. Wasn't May 20th the night where the Revolution was supposed to begin?
So says some teasers. There's a revolution coming. Did you not know this? There's a revolution coming.
We already had an evolution. Do we need a revolution?
We need a revolution. Well, we just do. It's a thing.
Yeah. It's not New Year's, so I don't know how it fits in. Anyway.
It's good. It's a nice
I thought The Rock did that when he started dumping John Cena's stuff in the harbor.
Soon the revolution will be trending. Just, you know.
Hashtag the revolution coming to a Twitter near you. Yeah. So,
It'll be interesting.
Any comments on this match or what?
It'll be interesting to see where they go with Jericho. This match itself, you had four, you know, performers who can go, and they put on a solid match.
Oh, don't use that word.
Why?
I don't know.
But can you see this match going to No Way Out? Can you see the four of them possibly being going to laryngitis and going, or whoever's in charge, and going, no, none of this was settled. We want to do it in a cage, which isn't that what No Way Out is? It's an all-cage type thing, or the main events are cages?
No, they're all different stipulations. Like
around a cage.
A cage match or a strap match, stuff like that. All different types of stipulations. I see Sheamus, Del Rio, and Jericho Orton maybe as two different matches.
I went the other way with that one. I see them branching off, Orton and Del Rio getting into it starting tomorrow night, and then Sheamus and Jericho having a program.
Okay, that works too.
Yeah, this is the way I see it. It just seems to make the least amount of ill logic, you know, because let's face it, half their book doesn't really make a shitload of sense, but, you know, that being said.
It'll be interesting because it's whatever they have a plan for Jericho. He's the X factor in this whole thing because is he going? Is he staying? Because there's a Fozzy tour in June. Is he going to be around for the next pay-per-view?
So, myriad questions.
Yet
to be answered.
Right.
Yeah. So, exactly 4 weeks from today is the next pay-per-view, and we'll find out even more then. But the next match on the night, somebody call my mama.
What's her number?
Really? Really?
Really?
Somebody call my mama. Really?
That was horrible dancing.
Oh my god, that was like Michael Jackson if he was white.
Wait a minute. Wait, he wasn't?
Cricket.
Yeah, no, that was absolutely stupid. The Miz coming out and doing the Thriller dance moves.
Main event of WrestleMania last year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and YouTube main event last month, and now piss break match.
Okay, WWE hurting for stars, hurting for top talent, booking people for a year, for, you know, 4 months, whatever the hell it is. You know, well, hey, Batista, you need a ride from the airport? Here, please come work for us again. But hey, here's a guy who was actually a young talent in the mid card. Worked his way up, became a world champion, beat Cena at goddamn WrestleMania.
Yep.
And you've squandered him.
Yeah, now, a lot of people not in the wrestling biz have that viewpoint. Take a look at it from a booker's point of view, from a scripter's look-see. They have enough faith in Mike the Miz Mizanin to use him to help get Brodus Clay over even more. This is one thing that all of these internet radio shows don't know how to take into account. I'm not saying you guys are just as guilty, but I'm not saying you're innocent either. I'm not saying anything one way or the other. But if you got somebody that you think is good enough to actually help get somebody over that you're trying to get over, at least temporarily, don't you want to use that person that's good enough that you can trust and rely to do it?
Really, though, at the same time, look at Chris Jericho. We were talking about, well, if he's a lame duck if he doesn't win a championship soon. You know what? What has he done in the WWE since his return that The Miz could not have done?
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Jericho is a bigger name than The Miz.
And that's because WWE failed to capitalize on what they built Miz into.
Yeah.
He could have been a big name. He could have been a current name if they hadn't completely dropped him.
Yeah. And just to let real Kane Kittens know, the Heath Slater, Ryback, that's called filler. That's not called that has nothing to do with what I was talking about. It's a little bit different. But Jericho has been used to get over the top level guys, even more so. He's he's given the rub, if you will, to guys like CM Punk. He can give the rub to a guy like Sheamus. Sure, both of these guys are already over. So why would you use somebody who's established, who's the legend that he is, guaranteed Hall of Famer, somebody like Chris Jericho, to quote-unquote give the rub to somebody who's already over, you know, CM Punk? Why would you do that?
It's also worth pointing out, there's a point being made in the production chat that The Miz was actually on this pay-per-view twice, and Kane was the curtain jerker on the pre-show.
Yeah. Yeah. That all ties in. It doesn't always make sense to us all the time, but there's always, almost always, a logic and a reason behind some of this stuff that we call illogical and unreasonable. And it's not always readily apparent. And I just don't want our listeners to get the impression that we're like everybody else who just bitches about shit that we see all the time. We don't always watch nothing but TNA.
TNA's actually gotten better. They have logical booking now. I'm just pointing that out.
Well, yeah, we'll be talking about that because that's one of our big stories of the week coming up. So, this match, any surprise Brodus Clay goes over and gets the win? It would have been a surprise to see Miz get the win. Then everybody would be bitching and crying and moaning and complaining that they just killed Brodus Clay's heat or his push or whatever.
I would have liked to have seen Miz beat Brodus Clay.
I would have too, if only for the shock factor of it, because this has been Brodus's MO for a while now.
Yeah.
Brodus needs to go somewhere now. He needs to do something. He's had it. Basically, he's been feuding with The Miz for the last 3 weeks on Raw, including the pay-per-view tonight, so it's like, he's gotta go do something now. The Miz, we know what he's going to do. He's going to a movie. That's why he's barely being given time on TV and not the focal point character. He's going off to do with the Marine 3.
Mm-hmm.
Brodus needs to do something, because we've mentioned this on other shows that they have similar guys doing the same thing. Brodus needs to move on to do something.
Yep. I can see at some point in time, and it was brought up in the chat room, and I think it might have been brought up semi-sarcastically, but down the road, match up Brodus Clay versus Lord Tensai. I mean, you build both of these guys up like you're doing currently, and just have them wind up on a collision course.
That would be a terrible match.
And then there's also Ryback. You got three people in the WWE who don't seem to really have all of that much talent or charisma getting over for a reason that I don't really seem to understand.
Yeah. So, but anyway, with that and the winner being Brodus Clay, of course, I think it's just about time for our first break of the evening.
I think
so. We're going to take our first quick little time out. You'll listen to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, we are actually being legitimately sponsored by iBlack.com and also by BotchedMerch.com. Check out the websites after the show or open them up in a separate browsing window. You'll listen to WTR Sunday night. We'll be back right after this. Wrestling fans, looking for unique, one-of-a-kind wrestling merchandise? Then check out BotchedMerch.com. BotchedMerch.com provides the wrestling fans with unique, limited-edition wrestling merchandise not available anywhere else, from shirts, bumper stickers, buttons, and more.
You claim to be the man of 1,000 holds, but I know 1,004, and I wrote them all down. Here we go. Hold two, arm bar.
Use the promo code WILDTALK and receive 5% off your order. That's right, Wild Talk Radio fans. BotchMerch.com is giving you a bonus discount just for listening. Don't be part of a trend. Set the trend and lead the way with unique, one-of-a-kind, limited-edition wrestling merchandise from BotchMerch.com. That's B-O-T-C-H-E-D, merch.com.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Spud. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
The franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
I give two shits about My Little Pony, but that's a terrible way of keeping a collection.
Yeah, I was just waiting for Omega to say that.
Holy fuck.
I knew it.
Well, Omega can be into My Little Pony all he wants, you know. I
some hideous pastel pony gangbang. No secret that I do have a lot of Transformers. However, I am not so fucking creepy that I actually have the bed sheets too.
The question is Omega wearing the underoos as we speak?
Busted!
Gotta keep his bumblebees safe, but somehow.
You'll no longer refer to my dick and balls as bumblebees. I will have my balls have nothing to do with Shia LaBeouf.
There's a visual. Shia LaBeouf driving Bumblebee, and it turns out to be Omega's undercarriage.
No, just stop. Picturing that.
I'm not picturing it. I'm giving everybody else a visual.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Tired of the same old view of Monday night wrestling? Looking for something different? Well, we here at the Wild Talk Radio Network will bring you that alternative. As every Monday night, we bring you the WTR Raw Post Show. Join Sir Rockin' and Mace, along with the likes of The Spud Guy, Jackie Feist, and others, as they give their opinions on all the real mayhem that happens on Monday nights.
They said it was banned, but we said anytime, any place, anywhere.
It's people talking wrestling live on a Monday night, just without the news. Monday nights, right after Monday Night Raw, only on WildTalkRadio.com.
And that's cool.
Athletes, both professional and amateur, know that sun glare is an athlete's worst nightmare. The fine folks at iBlack.com have created and patented glare-reducing under-eye patches known as iBlack to help improve performance and the entire game day experience. iBlack is used by athletes in Major League Baseball, Major League Lacrosse, and Minor League Baseball. iBlack has proud partnerships with many professional athletes in motorsports, the National Football League, and even WWE Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels. Show your support for your favorite athlete and team by purchasing the innovative iBlack products from iBlack.com. That's iBlack.com, the official iBlack of athletes and fans alike.
Hi everybody, this is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
Business is about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slumber knocker.
Take it.
WTR, Sunday Night Rush Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Glad that you could all join us. Happy you're here. Are you happy you're here?
I'm happy I'm here, Tim.
Are you happy you're here, Rock?
I am, because you know...
Rock's happy.
Because, you know, we have sponsors like BotchMerch.com, where you can get limited edition merchandise. And if you want the Master of 1004 Holds t-shirt, it's going to be gone in like 18 minutes. So get it now.
18 seconds. It's a new world record.
18 minutes.
Well, you know what I'm saying. I'm still going to buy like 100 of those bumper stickers.
And
oh, that's good.
And you can also go to iBlack.com as well.
Yeah, what happens at iBlack? You just buy stuff to put under your eyes so you don't get glared.
Yeah.
Whoopty.
Yeah, if you're
it's awesome.
If you're
hey,
athlete,
you know what they
it.
Do? You know what iBlack.com does?
What?
They'll actually customize for you.
They will.
Send them a logo, your name, you know, whatever, and they'll actually turn it into an iBlack for you.
Tim, you should get WTR iBlack.
I was thinking Canadian All-Pro.
That too.
That would be interesting. Have all the wrestlers come out in that. You know?
There you go.
Yeah, so we'd have to get like two pairs, and then you just have to keep switching them back and forth.
Is that sanitary?
I don't think that's sanitary, Tim.
Wait a second. You're talking about something that peels off and sticks on that are worn by guys who wear trunks, no shirts, half of them, and they're locked up in close quarters, and you're worried about hygiene?
Yeah. Yeah, Tim.
Right. Okie dokie. Yes, Real Cane Kittens, custom eye blacks. We were just talking about that, for crying out loud. Send in your very own ideas, and they'll actually make them for you. And do me a favor. Actually, go to iBlack and get something custom for you made. It's really, you know, it's a good deal. It's affordable. Let them know that you got the idea to go to them from the Wild Talk Radio Network. And thank you to you, them, and all that other fun stuff. Just saying. Back to the pay-per-view. Up next, the Intercontinental Championship. Now, here's where the semi-swerve happens. As in the back, Cody's yapping about, you know, Christian coming back. It's all rusty. And it's a good thing he decided to take on Santino because Cody would demolish him, yada, yada, yada. Oh, look who's over Cody's shoulder. That's right. It's Christian. So what does Christian do? Christian changes his mind. Decides to go after Cody Rhodes. And now we have the Intercontinental Championship match. Cody Rhodes defending against Christian. Allen.
Yeah. Captain Cupcake goes from heel to face all off of that one promo. Okay.
Dude,
isn't it a little
he's coming
weird?
Back from a long injury. He's not the he's not the first heel that comes back to a face pop. Let's come on.
I understand.
Seriously.
But you know, you before my executive producer woke up and said she had a wet tush. Yes, that's the baby, not anyone else in the house. You guys were talking about the fall of Mike Mizanin as a character. This is a guy who wasn't it around this time last year. He was obtaining his buddy's dream of winning the World Heavyweight Championship, and in certain people's minds, I'm just putting it out there, because to certain people, they see that a main event player goes and now has a mid-card belt like the Intercontinental title is a slap to the face. But, as I said to a friend the other day waiting in line for the movie, I said, yeah, look who held the Intercontinental title at one point. Oh, yeah, Ric Flair.
Ric Flair, so Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart.
No, but I mean, but did Shawn hold the IC title after winning the world title? No.
Triple H did.
There you go.
I know that, but I'm just using it as an example that some have, some haven't. It's just... It can be some showing both sides of the coin here.
Here's one for you, Alan. Big Show.
Like I said, just showing both sides of the coin. I didn't want to see this match. I wanted Tyson Kidd in this spot because you've been jobbing him out and he's over on Superstars and, you know, hey, he did what you wanted him to do. He lost the little hair piece and now he's got hair. Can we actually get him to wrestle?
Just wait till NXT, the new NXT. He's apparently going to be a big part of that.
Filmed here in Florida. Aren't you excited, Omega? We can go to Full Sail University and watch a month's worth of it being taped. Yay!
If you actually saw some of the pictures of the set, that looks, it actually looks pretty good. Looks,
yeah, I know.
Looks unique.
So yeah, it looks like they're borrowing Raw's old set.
So everyone, check out WWE NXT, probably on WWE.com Wednesdays, I think.
Not sure.
No, I think. Anyway, we had a match.
Yes, back to the match. Cody Rhodes versus Christian. Christian winds up becoming the new Intercontinental Champion. Okay, here it is. Tonight, he was babyface. He was sort of babyface at the Battle Royal. Does he stay good guy, or does he turn again?
I keep him babyface.
Yeah, I like to see him stay babyface.
Or do you do an old WCW thing where he starts as a heel in hour one, and hour two he's a tweener, and then in hour three he's kind of a face, but then he's a heel, but then he's not a face, but then he's a heel and he's a face, and that's all in one segment.
I just think Christian comes off better as a babyface.
Yeah,
but then
the guy's
you
got
lose the one more match thing.
Good riddance.
Yeah,
yeah.
I know.
He works better as a face, I think, just because he does have a natural charisma to him. People want to cheer him on.
And
well,
the
I think that's
champ,
what makes
he stays
him...
on. Does he stay on SmackDown? The IC title's strictly to SmackDown now, right? Except for the.
Well, come on, there's no brand split anymore. I mean, he's going to be on both shows, just like everybody else is.
Yeah,
but,
we had Jericho wrestling for SmackDown's belt, and we had Bryan wrestling for Raw's.
Yeah, but you guys are talking about face or heel, he's better as a face. No, the reason why I like him as a heel is because he's got that charisma, and you want to cheer him as a good guy, which, in my opinion, makes for a very good bad guy. Now, as far as heel or babyface, keep him a good guy for a little while before you let him turn again. Sure, give us a little bit more good guy Christian, because, you know, that's always fun to be able to cheer him on and... not do the "I wish you were the good guy because I want to cheer you" thing.
Well, WWE is in need of faces right now, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They're in need of heels too.
Yeah, let me ask this because I'm interested to hear what Omega and Jackie have to say. There's been an idea of by SummerSlam, and this is just an idea, that Cody Rhodes will be wrestling either Punk or Sheamus for the championship. Is that launched tonight with taking the IC title off of him? Now he gets to go forward?
I don't quite see that. It's really weird. I think him and Dolph are both stuck in these little neutral pockets where they could be elevated to the next step, but they're missing something, and it's hard to say what that something is.
A five-knuckle like, shuffle thing? No catchy catchphrases?
That's true, though. You need
when
that kind of stuff.
When wrestlers break in and get stuck in the mid-card, it's because they break in and they get stuck in the mid-card as cookie-cutter characters.
But he hasn't been a cookie cutter, Tim. He had the Phantom of the Opera plate, and now he's running around with the jacket and everything
else. He's doing what everybody else has done before they caught on. He's trying to get caught on. Eventually, he's going to stumble on something that works. Now, this hashtag heel thing is a great start, and I think he's on the verge of hitting that next level. I think he's going to find something really soon that really grabs onto the crowd, because that's the one thing that you got to do to break out of that mold. And he's in that spot right now where he's just right, you know, he's looking over the top of the edge of the cookie cutter.
But let me ask this before you move on. Isn't that also Giward, Sinkowski, and McMahon Levesque's job to book him into situations? Because he's, you know, think back to WCW for a moment, fans, and I know I'm asking you to leap here. Go back to after Lex Luger left the Four Horsemen and he was booked with Ric Flair. And I was like, yeah, he's going to get there. Crap. Yeah, he's going to get there. Crap. It's like opportunity is knocked so many times with this character, and to equate him to, I know I'm going to get hit for this one, think in TNA, the way they've dropped the ball with Samoa Joe, I'm not putting Cody Rhodes or Dolph Ziggler up in that category, but you booked these guys. He was booked in Evolution, Legacy really well, and you had him in a great thing with Ray Ray and the Phantom of the Opera thing and the bag out thing. And it's just like, you know, you got, does he have to literally come in with Triple H's sledgehammer and start knocking people out going, see, main event material right here?
No, this is exactly what I'm saying. This is, you're talking about him doing something somebody else has already done to break the mold. He's got to find his own thing. This is what I'm talking about. And then you bring up WCW. How many people in WCW, how many workers in WCW had the chance to actually do their own thing? I'll tell you right now, the one thing that any wrestling company worth its salt, you know, WWE, is looking for is somebody who can come up with an idea on their own, sell it to the boss, and make it convincing enough that it actually gets used. Otherwise, you're going to get stuff like, you know, you brought up Luger. Well, none of that stuff was his doing because, no offense to Lex Luger, the guy was never bright enough to think up his own shit.
Yeah.
And
okay, seriously, he was told.
He was a bookkeeper. He was more worried about his wallet than anything else.
Yeah, Lex Luger was told by the bookers and his bosses, this is who you are and that's what you're doing. And he's like, oh, okay, pin me, pay me. You know, and there are people, you know, John Cena, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, The Rock, you know, pin me, pay me isn't enough. I want something more. Well, then bring me something more, and we'll see what you can come up with.
It is worth pointing out that if you're leaving your future in the hands of WWE Creative, these are the people that right now cannot figure out what to do with Karma. I mean, come on.
I want to go back to Alan's point a second. You talk about Cody Rhodes and the feuds he's had. You brought up Rey Mysterio. Who came out looking better in that feud at the end of
Nobody. Because Rey went back on the shelf and ended up getting busted for the wellness program again.
But they really
didn't do anything with Cody.
But when Rey, who won the feud? Rey won the feud. That's what guys like Ziggler. That's what guys like Ziggler and Cody Rhodes are missing. They're not winning the feud. That's how guys got elevated back in the day. They won feuds.
Nobody wins feuds anymore.
Because they start on the beginning of Raw and they're over by the end of Raw.
No, they're not anymore. That's a terrible.
I know.
That's a terrible
point.
But
in certain people's mind, that's how it is.
That's how it used to be. But they've done long programs, and the guy who's already established is coming out on top. If you want to get people elevated, you gotta have them beat the established stars. And that's not what they're doing right now.
So, with that done, Christian wins the Intercontinental title and is the new champion, and we're looking forward to seeing what he does with that. Any comments on this match? I thought it was really good, and they did a really good job in the ring. It was very entertaining from my point of view. Omega?
Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Well, that's the important thing. As long as you enjoyed it, Vince can sleep sound tonight.
Oh, damn right.
There you go. Alan, thoughts about the actual match itself?
Already gave them. Move on to the greatest match in the history of WWE in certain people's minds.
Jackie! You watched this one.
Should bring up what it is first.
The WWE, well, I was working on that. The WWE Championship. CM Punk takes it on Daniel Bryan.
I absolutely loved it. It kept me on the edge of my seat through the entire thing. And I was actually expecting Daniel Bryan to go over here. I thought it would be the rib injuries caused by Kane on Friday. But these got to be two of the best workers on the planet right now. I absolutely love watching anything that they do. And judging by their previous matches, I expected it to be great, but I was blown away. Absolutely wonderful.
Well, it's no stretch to say match of the night, MOTN. Cowboy Chick.
But, this may be match of the week, match of the month, match of the year.
Well, match of the week, definitely. But, I said MOTN, and Rock says to me, that's really going out on a limb. Yeah, a really big, fat limb. I was not surprised that these guys pulled out what they pulled out. It was fantastic. this match. I don't know about the rest of you, but I liked the way it ended. I enjoyed that finish.
Yeah, it was a good setup.
Now, for those of you who didn't see the pay-per-view and only only heard the results, the Yes Lock, I'm still having a hard time calling it that. The
yeah,
yes
I don't
lock,
call it that.
Yeah, the LaBelle Lock applied to CM Punk, and he looks like he's about to tap, and I'm thinking, you know, they got to come up with a way to reverse this so he can actually get out of it and the match can last. Sure enough, as soon as I'm thinking that, he pushes himself backward and actually gets the pin on Daniel Bryan while he's still in the lock. Bryan's shoulders are down. Rev counts 1, 2, 3. Just as he counts 3, Punk taps. Daniel Bryan thinks he wins the belt.
Not to be.
Not to be, exactly.
In this matchup, we saw surfboards, we saw Indian deathlocks, we saw a fisherman suplex, Booker T.
Modified Indian deathlock.
Modified Indian deathlock.
Yes.
Oh, you have no idea. We were going back and forth. Anyway.
Yeah, I kind of got fun in the ring after a while. We're calling moves just to prove we know the names of them.
Yeah. But, it was a fisherman suplex with a bridge, Booker T, not a float-over suplex.
Oh, yeah. I think we both kind of sort of razzed on Booker over that one.
Oh, and going back to something else Booker T said about the Layla match. Oh, it's never good to wear a knee brace. You should never wear a knee brace when you're wrestling.
Yeah, hello, pot. This is the kettle.
How many years ago, Booker?
Double entendre.
I think his exact words were, that tells me you should not be in the ring.
How many years was he wearing a knee brace when wrestling?
Lost track.
But it's the same guy who said Tyson Kidd is a second generation star.
Shucky ducky quack quack. Just saying.
Try to say it the way Booker T says it next time.
No wonder the Botchamania guys have fun with him every time they do one.
It's just like a competition for who the worst announcer in WWE is.
I'm beginning to think you got something there, Omega. Booker, Cole, combine them, you got Booker, Cole. And definitely the hands-down worst person at the at ringside.
That's why I mute the damn pay-per-view. Someone was asking me on Facebook, she's like, how's the commentating? I was like, I wouldn't know. I mute it until they cut a promo, and it's like, I will pay attention to that. So I don't know how bad. I only know the thing earlier in the show. On the YouTube thing,
but you missed it. The crowd was awesome in this matchup. By the way,
oh cool!
Oh my God, they were on fire. It was wonderful.
It was It was back and forth. It was fantastic. You know, let's go Cena sucks chant. It was a similar idea. You know, Daniel Bryan, CM Punk. It just came across to me that the people yelling out CM Punk had more bass in their chant.
I still find it amazing. I don't know if they talked about it on the live commentary. I know on their website they had a feature on the two of them and actually acknowledged their ROH past and matches. And I remember seeing these two wrestling Full Impact Pro in front of like 45 people in a venue. And I'm just having a flash to now going, okay, they're in a Mexican bar in Lakeland, Florida. And now they're in front of however many thousand people in Raleigh. Pretty cool.
Punk made mention of about, you know, how he did his Vince McMahon impression, and
oh, that was funny.
That was pretty good. You know, how if you told Vince McMahon a year ago that CM Punk and 10 years ago that CM Punk and Daniel Bryan would be wrestling for his WWE title, he would say, "Who are they? What? Who are they again?" They put on a classic tonight.
Hopefully, this time next year we'll be talking about that with some guy named Cassius Ohno.
Some guy named who?
Cassius Ohno, one of the worst names WWE Creative came up with. And if Chris Hero came up with that one, Chris Spradlin, I'm going to come find you and smack you with your Chris Hero trading card.
Chris Hero is being called Cassius Ohno?
Yes, K-A-S-S-I-U-S-O-H-N-O. He's doing promos almost like a Cassius Clay thing. He just took on Seth Rollins, formerly known as Tyler Black, on FCW TV. So that's some pretty cool stuff.
Oh, brother.
Find it on YouTube. Find it on a torrent site. Move on to the worst match in the history of humankind. God.
We've already talked about that match.
Jackie, get a job with WWE Creative and come up with better names for these fucking people, will you?
I will get right on that.
But at least the next match, Haku's son got to compete on a pay-per-view, so it's pretty cool.
So, Jackie, how many resumes have you submitted now? 8, 12, 16?
32, hike.
I've submitted one.
Oh, okay. Because I'm about to say, you know, at some point in time, you're going to have to take a hint, Jackie.
I need a crush for a dream.
Creative has nothing for you.
Jeez, Tim.
One person at a time. What? I'm not allowed to pick on somebody. You guys are always picking on me all the time. Fuck you. That's all I got to say.
But we're not crushing your dreams. Jeez. Be nice.
Every time you talk about me, you crush my dreams, man. My dream is to actually be able to do a show without somebody typing in hashtag Tinstein Depends. Yeah, there's a cheap shot at somebody in the chat room. Anyway, fantastic match. CM Punk retains. If you haven't seen it, catch the replay. Here we go. Train wreck of the night. And
I don't have an opinion or anything.
Oh, do you have an opinion, Omega? I'm sorry.
Assholes.
What do you mean, assholes? He's the one who moved on.
Right?
That asshole.
That's because you guys wouldn't shut up. You kept trying to talk, and I just kind of sort of lost track. Go ahead, Omega. What's your opinion?
I said it in the chat, and I'll say it here again so everyone can hear it. I was in awe that we were actually seeing a submission match in WWE.
Oh, yeah.
That alone sold me. I mean, it's okay, yeah, it's Punk and it's Bryan, and you finally get to see them do what we knew they could do when they were having non-title matches for free, and it was something that we don't ever get in the WWE ever.
Yeah, well, you got a point there. And at the same time, watching these two guys work, you could tell that they had a lot of history behind them, and they worked each other a lot in the past, if not recently. You just very smooth with each other.
All it was missing was a cattle mutilation.
I wanted that damn. I even asked you during the thing. I said at some point he's got to whip that thing out on a WWE show. He only did it on NXT once, didn't he?
I don't think he was on NXT. Was it on NXT? Because Stryker was the one who called it cattle mutilation, which I seriously doubt they're going to get away with calling that the cattle mutilation again.
Oh, yeah.
I would suggest the Veganator.
The Veganator.
Exactly.
Nice! Okay, that's definitely 2 points for Omega, for those of you keeping score. All right, now let's talk.
Finish, though, so we'll probably get another match out of them.
So well, maybe, I hope so. Christ, I hope so. Again. Next month, that would be fantastic. Train wreck of the night! I mean, John Laurinaitis versus John Cena.
No, you missed the match.
He wanted to skip over that.
I was trying to skip over Ryback versus Camacho. Ryback won. Congratulations, Ryberg. Anybody? Anybody? Bueller? Anybody?
Cool to see Haku's son on a pay-per-view.
Best match, best move of the match, him kicking over the bike.
Yeah.
I hate that goddamn bike. It's a $2,000 bike. Your other Mexican drove out in a $150,000 car.
Just saying. All right. So, I'm sorry. It was just such a toss-away match that it's forgettable. Ryback does nothing to impress. No. Omega, were you impressed?
I was impressed I managed to stay awake. I was impressed that Lindsay managed to stay awake on 2 hours sleep through that match.
Yeah, Lindsay, how the hell did you stay awake?
I've been talking to her for a good portion of the day, keeping her awake.
Why has Lynn's only got 2 hours sleep? What the hell is she doing?
Because she was working nights, and now she's adjusting to working days again.
I see. Well, you know, in that situation, I'd have gotten at least 5 hours sleep.
Moving right along to the epic encounter.
You're just no fun, Rock. Epic bunch of bullshit that everybody called as of Monday night after Raw went off the air. It was that frickin' transparent. John Laurinaitis taking on John Cena with the Big Show making an appearance.
I would like to point out that John Cena has now been the main event without any world title around his waist 4 pay-per-views in a row.
Mm-hmm. This tragedy, this travesty must not continue.
And all 4 were disappointing.
Were they? Were they really truly disappointing?
It was Cena beating Kane in an ambulance match, which is BS. It was Cena jobbing to The Rock, who just left us to go be G.I. Joe. Then it was Lesnar mutilating him until Superman pulls the last second victory. And now this.
I would like to point out, this whole storyline they're doing with John Cena would have made a lot of sense. You know, Cena losing to The Rock, Cena losing to Brock Lesnar, wait, that didn't happen. That would have made so much sense for this whole thing. Because now he lost to John Laurinaitis. Where does he go from here? He's lost to 3 straight matches, 3 straight main events to The Rock, Brock, and Laurinaitis. And, well, 2 of 3, I guess, ain't bad.
2 out of 3 ain't so damn good. When it blows everything out of the water and makes it look ridiculous.
There was only one high point in this match, and that was John Cena and Laurinaitis on commentary.
That was funny, okay? Funny. You have to admit, that was good.
That was funny. And Laurinaitis being so punch drunk, he went with it.
Yeah, time. That was five the best time. Part.
Five times.
You actually did Booker too.
Besides that, Laurinaitis was red face.
Yeah.
Not good. Not good.
Yeah, I was worried he was gonna. I was worried he was gonna have an aneurysm before Big Show even showed up.
So yeah, no surprise. Shows up. The one thing they did try to make it look like was it was a last second idea. Hey, I got an idea. Why don't you beat him up and I'll give you your job back? Discussion in the ring. Even that didn't get it over, in my opinion.
No. Moments like that are just so convenient and contrived, where, okay, if Big Show was intent on revenge, why didn't he come out to begin with? And if it was a work from the beginning, why didn't he come out to begin with? And very, very convenient that he happened to be right behind that door.
Yeah,
it's just so... I'll say it again. It's contrived.
Go ahead. Keep going.
No. My thought kind of trailed off there.
Oh, okay. It sort of like shriveled up. Kind of like John Laurinaitis after the ice water, then the CO2 fire extinguisher.
Oh, my... Who? The good news is he won't be having kids anymore.
Well, I kind of sort of choked on my Coke when Booker T actually mentioned the word shrinkage. You're like, he actually said that? Fuck!
Can you say shrinkage in a PG company?
Apparently you can.
Guess so.
Yes.
Just so long as you don't refer to what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
but it went from shrinkage to...
Hornswoggle suffers from shrinkage.
Oh, my God. On Monday, he was Ryback. On Tuesday, he was Hornswoggle. Shrinkage.
Jeez. So, yeah, anyway, just a horrible, predictable way to end that match. And the travesty is they had to put it as the main freaking event. I'm sorry. I could have stomached it if it was the semi-main, but you knew what was going to happen. And it wasn't like WWE telegraphed it or anything all week long.
I will say this. At least they did the predictable, logical thing. And not go, oh, everyone knows what's happening and let's pull out some surprise.
Well, in this case, they could have done that and it would have been so much better because you're expecting this, what actually happened to happen, and hoping it doesn't.
Are we almost at this point where we just can't be satisfied? Whereas, you know, we all expected Big Show's like, oh yeah, they expected that. But lately, WWE's been a fan of swerving those ideas completely. So if they had done that, would we be sitting here bitching about, oh, well, they always do this bullshit swerve?
Honestly, I think so.
It made storyline sense for it to happen.
It makes storyline sense. Yes, it's just too well set up. If this had been, like, the first thing John Laurinaitis did was, you know, humiliate the Big Show and then fire him anyway, if that was the beginning of his reign of terror, then okay, then it's out of people's heads a little bit. But no, it was very recent, and the tip-off was that Big Show was the one atrocity that they didn't put in the little video package that night.
They did this, and people are not happy because it was too predictable. If they would have done something completely off the wall, we'd be bitching that it makes no sense.
Well, it would have been perfectly fine in my purview for John Laurinaitis to be fired as permanent general manager of both Raw and SmackDown and give Teddy the reins and let Teddy get his revenge. Who knows? Maybe that's coming down the road. I don't know.
I hope so.
Maybe Teddy really could have screwed him over.
That would have been cool. Is Teddy a member of the roster, technically?
He's not a superstar.
Ah,
they defined it as a superstar interference.
So he could have actually come out and punched... that would have been funny.
Yeah.
After so Big Show lays out Cena, he lays out Johnny Ace.
Yeah, they could have done that, too.
It just would have made things a lot worse, and we'd be bitching even more than we are right now. But still, I would have laughed.
If Cena would have...
Go ahead, Jackie.
If Cena would have won and we'd have been rid of Laurinaitis, I wouldn't be bitching.
That's what I was about to bring up. The strangest thing is that the most unpredictable thing that would have made sense was if Cena had won. Because we all expect, after they had built up all those stipulations, you knew he was going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't know if the internet had anything to do with it or just the predictability of the setup. Because normally people are bitching and complaining, well, you know, the internet just spoils everything.
They cannot go around worrying about what the internet is saying. There are people who have nothing better to do with their life except try to sit around and try to figure out what WWE is going to do.
Isn't that what we do on the radio anyway?
You can't sit around and just bitch about what the internet people are going to say or do, because people are going to do what they're going to say they do. Ultimately, this is a WWE show. It's their product. They need to book what they want to book and fuck everyone else.
Yeah. At the same time, unlike all those other jerk-off podcasts out there, this one's somewhat unique in that one of the people on the show, on the program, actually books wrestling and outlines story arcs that last for 6 months, where in a couple of shows here and there, you're going to do shit that doesn't seem to make sense until the conclusion of that storyline.
Omega, you do a great job in booking wrestling. I'm just pointing it out there.
Thank you. I take pride in that.
Don't be wise asses, you wise asses.
How do you know I don't?
Do you?
On
exactly.
On my PS2?
Yeah, on PS2. Thank you very much. So, anyway, yeah, just alluding to the fact Canadian All Pro Wrestling does have another show coming up June 14th. Going to be called Aftermath. Hot Trot Johnny Devine winning the Commonwealth title through nefarious means, and it looks like Vince Nevada and Massive Damage are going to want a little bit of retribution on the Hot Trot Johnny Devine teaming up, believe it or not, with the All-American Steve Rivers. Some kind of unholy Cam-Am connection type thing going on there.
But anyway, back to the pay-per-view.
It's the last match of the night. The closer spoiled it for me. It was entertaining and enjoyable right up until after the bogus commentary.
Yeah, it just went too far. I mean, you put a great technical match in your WWE title match. And it really should have ended the night. And instead, it has to play second banana to a Three Stooges routine.
And it went 10 minutes too long.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
easily.
So if John Laurinaitis and John Cena would have been second to last, and then Punk and Bryan would have been last, we'd all be happy?
It would have left a better taste in everybody's mouths to finish the night with such technical excellence. And let's face it, that match was technical excellence.
I think my night would have been better if I didn't have to have watched it in the first place. I was just sitting there, especially when they went to, you know, everybody bashes The Rock and nobody noticed that new thing. Yo, Cena, you ripped The Rock off from like the 1990s. Go back and watch some of your tapes that are in your collection there, Marky Mark. You ripped off Dwayne. You think you owe him some copyright money there. Just saying.
But if you look back, you can find someone that The Rock has ripped off. There's nothing that's original anymore.
I can't think of anybody, and I'm sure I'm going to get smacked by Omega or Tim for this. Anybody ever grab a set of headsets in WWF 1980s, 70s, or WCW and talk like Dwayne did?
Has anybody ever been in a faction before? I'm sure somebody has. The Rock was in a faction. He ripped off somebody.
Actually, in the 1980s, I do remember seeing somebody actually grab the headset and start talking in the middle of the match to the commentators. So, consider yourself bitch slap.
Yeah, but I mean, to the extent that Dwayne did it, you know, managers would come over, and Gary Hart was infamous for doing that, going over and being over Mark Lawrence's shoulder or Bill or the world class announcers. It's just, this match should have never have damn happened. You exposed John Laurinaitis for what he is. He's an out of shape guy. And, you know, this, everybody that's, I've had people over the last few days bring up, oh, this is great because he's Vince McMahon all over again. I think, and Lindsay had mentioned it when we were watching Raw, that like, the whole 20-minute long mind-numbing thing, which made me flip over to the Ranger game. It's just like, you know, they were generating heat for Laurinaitis. He's got X-Pac heat on him right now. As a character. He does. And it's just like, get him off TV. If he's not off TV by SummerSlam, this whole thing is bad.
Yeah, unfortunately you're stuck in the WWE's current mindset, which is any heat is good heat, no matter what reason there is for it. Because we're also in the anti-bullying age, where we are guaranteed that the bully is always going to get his comeuppance eventually. So you'll eventually, you know, it's like Michael Cole. Look how long they went with Michael Cole. Now he's supposed to just be, you know, not an aggressively heel announcer, but just kind of
passive-aggressive.
Passive-aggressive. You can kind of see that, but you can... I completely lost my point because I brought up Michael Cole, my mind blanked.
It happens from time to time. I'll admit for a half second, and I know the rest of this crew didn't, I thought this would have been the perfect time to just remind the fans, hey, Brock quit. Brock could have come out and knocked somebody out, but they didn't even go down that road because I guess that's Triple H's feud and Triple H gets what he wants. And follow Puppet H on Twitter. That little bastard is funny.
It would have made no sense for Brock to show up.
The whole thing with laryngitis makes no sense. Just throw Lesnar in there anyway. Why not?
The Laurinaitis stuff actually makes somewhat sense. It really does.
Yeah.
It may not be intelligent, but it makes sense. And you know, the order of the booking of the matches tonight causes me to give this pay-per-view a B-. If the main event was the semi, and the WWE title was the main event, I could have possibly gone as high as A-. But, you know, definitely be positive. But I can't be too positive with the main event that it was tonight. So B- from my point of view, Omega.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with that B-. Yeah, it's the order. It's the taste left in your mouth afterwards. It's stupid. Going out on stupid shiz. Like, why is Big Show doing this? Because he's trying to get his job back, you dumbasses. Why are you trying to draw intrigue now?
There you go, yeah. Jackie.
Actually, I agree with you, Tim, but I'll go ahead and give it an A-, just because I'm not as bothered by the orders of the match. As long as I get the match and I enjoy it, it could have opened the show. Hell, I don't care.
Well, okay, yeah, I mean, it's an outstanding match, but you didn't really, you know, the pay-per-view can't live or die by that match alone. It didn't have a lot going for it beyond that.
Yeah, no, my thinking is you want to start as hard as you can to get the crowd warmed up as quickly as possible. And then
you
want to
leave
them.
How much hotter can you get?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, God.
Yeah. So you want to leave them with the hottest match you can give them, so they want to actually come back, even if you give them six matches and four of them were shit. Your first and your last are your best matches. People are going to remember the first and the last match, and they're going to, especially with the last, you know, the last thing they see, the last match, they're going to be saying, hey, man, that was great. You know, awesome, blah, 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 blah. And this is my point, and this is why I graded it the way I did. Alan.
It's a B-. This is what we're going to have to watch come July. This is a three-hour Monday Night Raw. I could have lived without Rye, Roe, Goldberg, RVD, whatever the hell he is. Didn't need Funkasaurus, Happy Meal, McMuffin, whatever. This is it. This is what we're going to get come after the 1,000th Raw.
That's a teaser.
Punk Bryan Danielson was awesome, but it doesn't save this from being a meh pay-per-view. Miss you, Mace, in a couple weeks.
Hey, fuck your positivity, Jackie.
Yeah, there you go. Rock, you want to get in on this one?
I'm going to give it a B, and I didn't have a problem with the order. It made sense to put Cena last because he's John Cena, and from the way they've been booking the story and TV, Cena's the top guy, and he should be in your main event. As much as we all want Punk to be in it, you know. Logically, this made made sense, the way they booked it.
Well, all right. So, basically, overall, guys, it's an endorsement. It's not ringing, but it's still an endorsement of tonight's pay-per-view offering. We're just about to take our second time out of the evening. Before we do, however, Alan, you're coming back Tuesday night with Kayfabe Wrestling Radio.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not.
He's joining us on Thursdays this week.
My other executive producer, the birthday girl, Miss Juliet, happy 10th birthday to her, and 51 shoes acquired that are going to an orphanage in the Dominican Republic. That's what she did for her 10th birthday.
Wait a minute.
She's trying to get 100 pairs. 51 pairs of shoes. She's okay. Trying to get to 100. So
what happened to shoe number 52? Was that Zach?
Find me on Facebook, and I can clue you in on if you want to help out with that stuff. She has a choir concert Tuesday night. So instead of having that end at 8 o'clock and trying to race home to do a show, the network was gracious and let us move to this Thursday. We will break down with Marcus Pastroyas of Crossfire Wrestling. They got close to 1,000 people again for a Make-A-Wish Foundation event this past Saturday that was headlined by Matt Hardy, who joined us recently, and MVP, who joined us recently. Go to the archives for that. Their big show is coming in August, and oh my God, wait till you hear the guest list on Thursday night. WWE Encyclopedia co-author, and yes, there's a new volume coming in September. Brian Shields will join us, and Rock told me you guys weren't doing a fancy schmancy roundtable with no intro tonight, so I'm bringing one to Thursday night, and it happens to involve the three recent people that, you know, Owen Hart, Davey Boy Smith, and Macho Man Randy Savage, and tune in. So thanks for having me, and sorry I'm a little bitchy, but damn you, Johnny Ace. Go back to Japan.
Alan.
Sir.
Would you say this huge name will give you a heart attack if you heard it?
I think it may also get you in legal trouble with TNA Wrestling if you've been following stuff online.
So holler if you hear me?
Yeah, and watch out for that mushroom that's on your face. Oh, wait, that fell off. Now I just can't sing for crap. I'm done doing all these things because we got 11 weeks worth of guests coming, man. Holy crap.
Stay tuned to Facebook.com/KayfabeWrestlingRadio and Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork for all the details.
Yeah, and on that note, we're on our second time out of the evening. Everybody, go relieve yourselves. Grab a frosty cold one and get back to your computer in time for segment number 3 right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back right after this.
Listen now. Well, it's a big show. It's a big band show tonight. Oh, it's tonight, baby.
Athletes, both professional and amateur, know that sun glare is an athlete's worst nightmare. The fine folks at iBlack.com have created and patented glare-reducing under-eye patches known as iBlack to help improve performance and the entire game-day experience. iBlack is used by athletes in Major League Baseball, Major League Lacrosse, and Minor League Baseball. iBlack has proud partnerships with many professional athletes in motorsports, the National Football League, and even WWE Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels. Show your support for your favorite athlete and team by purchasing the innovative iBlack products from iBlack.com. That's iBlack.com, the official iBlack of athletes and fans alike.
Hey man, what's your name?
Hello, my name is Jimmy Pop and I'm a dumb white guy.
Why are you sitting there all alone? Well, that ain't good. You're kind of weird. You always sing everything you say? Hey, I didn't say anything like that. Man, in fact, I was going to ask if you want to do something if you're not too busy. What you doing around Wednesday, around 8:30?
Eat Spam from the can, watch late night C-SPAN, and rock out to old school Duran Duran.
Well, I know this awesome wrestling show on WildTalkRadio.com. Just another goddamn wrestling show with Jed Schaefer and Scott Barry and the Cheapwood paneling. They talk about all the wrestling news of the week. Want to listen in? Maybe even call in?
Hell yeah!
Cool. Now, stop looking at me that way.
You and me, baby, ain't nothing but mammals, so let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, I don't roll that way. But there is this guy on the show. His name's Joey Gay.
When one advertises the rack with Jackie and Lindsay, they would tend to rely on cheap jokes about the female mammary glands. I, being someone of class and breeding of kittens, am going to challenge myself to go through this whole commercial without making such lowbrow jokes. So here we go. The Rack is a show about two lovely cane kitten-wanting women named Jackie Feist and Lindsay Ward, both of whom have recently joined the Wild Talk Radio Network to give the female perspective about the world of professional wrestling. Wait a cotton pick a minute here. Another wrestling show? Don't we have anything else to talk about on this goddamn network? Can't someone around here come up with a fresh, new, and different idea? Seriously, it can't be that hard. You know, I'll come up with one right now. Two geeks get together to interview large bosom ladies at gaming conventions. An already large lady talks to people about her experience getting breast implants. A bosom race of bosom women talk about their taking their bosom ship to the planet bosom. Watermelons, fun bags, busts, milk factories, knockers, jugs, nipples, jubblies, stonking great tits. Well, that challenge was a bust. But that doesn't mean the Rack is on a great show that happens Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Big ass boobies.
Wrestling fans, looking for unique, one-of-a-kind wrestling merchandise? Then check out BotchMerch.com. BotchMerch.com provides the wrestling fans with unique, limited-edition wrestling merchandise not available anywhere else. From shirts, bumper stickers, buttons, and more.
You claim to be the man of 1,000 holes, but I know 1,004, and I wrote them all down. Here we go. Hole 2, arm bar.
Use the promo code WILDTALK and receive 5% off your order. That's right, Wild Talk Radio fans. BotchMerch.com is giving you a bonus discount just for listening. Don't be part of a trend. Set the trend and lead the way with unique, one-of-a-kind, limited-edition wrestling merchandise from BotchMerch.com. That's B-O-T-C-H-E-D, merch.com.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
Hey, I just can't stand.
And you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Hit
You having girl problems, I feel bad for you, son. I got 99 problems, but a bitch ain't one. I got the rap patrol on the gas patrol. Hoes that want to make sure my cast is closed. Rap critics to save money, cash hoes. I'm from the hood, stupid, what type of facts are those? If you grew up with hoes in your zap for toes, you celebrate the minute you was having dough. I'm like, fuck critics, you can kiss my whole asshole. If you don't like my lyrics...
And welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Roast Talk, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Yeah! What do you think? A little too over the top?
Just a little.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I can never tell this shit. If it's just too much or too little.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, wow. I feel good.
Someone's
hang on a second.
The home, bro. Jesus Christ.
Just give me a minute.
Reminder, folks, we're brought to you by iBlock.com and BotchMerch.com.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Nummy.
Old man's drunk again.
As this guy's not drunk. Just having fun. That's all that matters. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us. Don't go anywhere because we got a whole bunch more stuff to talk about. But we got a big story of the week hitting.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
The WTR Big Story of the Week.
Two teams assemble!
This is a bit of a big deal. It's been announced that Raw will become 3 hours long. Now, the plan is for this to happen, I do believe, at the end of July?
July 23rd is the date. And it's going to be interactive.
What the hell does that mean? It means Cyber Monday, kids.
It means that they have gone so far as to booking on the fly these days that they figure, well,
let's just let them call it in.
Yeah, we can write a match in 2.5 hours, right?
I just see Chris. You know what? We got these jerk-off podcasts bitching and complaining about what we do. Fuck it. Let's tell them to fucking do it themselves. See what happens. Maybe not. So, 3 hours, Monday nights, every Monday night, starting July 23rd. Jackie, good idea, bad idea, hidden agenda.
It's kind of one of those things where it could be brilliant or it could be absolutely awful. It really depends on how they do it. There's been a lot of talk about a Raw pre-show. That would be kind of strange. I've heard a lot of talk about they're going to make it after, what was it, you were saying, some Rock'em kind of ESPN thing?
Sort of like the SportsCenter or an NFL countdown-like program is one of the rumors they were thinking about before.
That could work, but it's just kind of one of those things where the ball's in WWE's court here. They can either make it awesome or they can make it suck really bad. So well, it's up to them how good it's going to be.
You know, doing this ESPN type idea where you recap and shit like that, they do this in Canada on the Score Network because, in case you didn't know, we get Raw on a 15-minute tape delay. So what they do from 7 o'clock to 7:15 is they give you a 15-minute recap of what happened on Raw and SmackDown the previous week to set you up for the live show. Mm-hmm. And it takes them 15 minutes. I mean, there's another 45 minutes to fill after that? Really?
I don't know. They can do interviews with wrestlers. I don't know.
They announced that they were planning to take it 3 hours, but they've given us zero indication on what it is they plan to do with that extra hour. So it's really hard to say.
All they say is that it's going to be Raw, but it's going to be 3 hours long permanently. So I assume it's going to be just as drawn out and exhausting as most 3-hour Raws have been in the past.
Yet, it becomes profitable for them. Because they earn more advertising and more, you know, television right fees, and it's money for them. Yay! Yay, money talks, and
it works so well for WCW.
Right?
That's kind of my thing. That's what everyone was pointing out. WCW went 3 hours, and then...
Well, WCW started 2 hours, it went 3 hours, and then went back to 2 hours, because 3 hours was just way too freaking much.
Of course,
we are talking WCW.
Plus, you got to think, this is essentially giving away a pay-per-view length event for free every week, and then asking, for $50 to see another event the same length.
Yeah. Now, some pundits are saying, well, maybe we'll at least get some more actual wrestling matches. Possible or no?
We'll get more development for mid-card, but that just means we'll get more promos from the likes of, Dolph Ziggler and the people who are kind of getting attention, but they're not getting any chance to actually show what they can do at the same time. Mm-hmm. If that makes any sense. They only get enough time to do what they're really good at and not enough time to work with what they need to elevate themselves. So it might be a good chance to give them some breathing room to do that. It might be a way of permanently and officially ending the brand nonsense that's meaningless now.
Mm-hmm. Or it might just be a way to give John Cena another hour on TV.
Yeah.
Or every main event match. Yeah. Or this is something that they're doing to prepare for WWE Network, where that extra hour winds up being on WWE Network, and they go back to 2 hours in the fall.
Now, what you'll see is that extra hour, yeah, they'll end up taping a Raw pre-show for the WWE Network, and if USA Network doesn't put something on that block, or if it works either way. Whether if the WWE Network succeeds and actually launches, they keep trying to get it to, then yeah, they'll probably develop it into an extra hour of content for that network. On the other hand, if it fails, they'll go back to 2 hours and they'll put something they've already shot for the network in that first hour instead.
So, I don't know. I just don't see this being anything permanent or long-lasting for anything but WWE Network and it becoming almost like a second show. Kind of sort of like what we saw tonight, lead in with YouTube, and then go from there, switch over to watch the pay-per-view for the rest of it. So they'll lead in on WWE Network, and then you catch the rest of it on USA.
This just makes me wonder if they're actually still going to have an overrun, if they've got an extra hour to work with, and they're still not going to get it all into their time slot.
Oh, they will, because they get the extra ratings for that next hour. USA likes it.
I'd like to point out, I retract my previous statement. Keep in mind, the pay-per-view tonight ended 15 minutes short of the top of the hour. WWE Raw can run 15 minutes over the top of the hour, so technically, you're getting an extra half hour of content compared to your pay-per-views.
Yes.
For free.
Yep.
Business! These corporate wheels are grinding.
Makes you wonder.
But then we have another big story, Tim.
We have another big story.
We're not playing the bumper.
Thank God.
Okay. TNA announces, as of the end of this month, May 31st, they will be going live Thursday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern.
All summer long.
I don't see this one lasting either.
Oh, that is indicated by the all summer long part.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying that, it's not going to be any more than that. See what I mean? You understand what I'm talking about?
It's a trial period. Just to see how it works, see if it bumps the ratings.
Uh-huh. So.
We know it's not going to last because they can't afford to rent it out every single week. That's why they do two tapings at a time.
Unless their ratings go through the roof.
Yeah, if their ratings go through the roof, then they can afford to keep doing it. But, that's going to be a long shot at best, even
what
with
was,
the booking improving.
Yeah, what was the highest rated show TNA episode ever?
I believe it was their first night on Monday, where they actually had Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair coming up.
Yep. And that scored a what, 1.5?
1.5, 1.8, something along those
lines. I wanted to say 1.8 at its highest.
Okay. Any chance that when they're live on Thursday nights, we get to see ratings around 1.5, 1.8?
Not a chance.
No. No. You'll see. I would wager a consistent 1.3, and that's only calculating in that people can't just read spoilers anymore. If you're honestly curious, you have to watch now.
Mm-hmm. Now, if their ratings do go up even a couple of percentage points, do you think that they might actually, hey, you know, maybe we should just stay live?
That depends. How's the oil speculation business looking these days?
How's the which?
They're not, okay, my understanding is that this is just not the greatest show. And then a lot of their financing is not coming from their own stuff. They're not financing themselves. They're getting their money from elsewhere.
All right, it's a better show now. They've gotten rid of the person who was making a bad show, and they have better long-term booking. People should actually check out Impact. It's gotten better. Just throwing that out there
a good commercial. Check out Impact. It's gotten better.
They set a low standard.
It should be like the Domino's Pizza commercials where they said, you know, our pizza absolutely suck, but it's good now.
It's better. They have Lagana and Pritchard in charge. The booking has gotten better. It has. It honestly has.
Maybe they should market it like diet food. You know, now with 100% less Russo.
Yeah, watch us. We don't suck anymore. I mean, I'm still not going to watch it, but it'll be funny to see how it goes.
It went from being a show that made you go, oh my god, what the fuck am I watching, to, okay, I understand this now. They've slowed things down and make them make sense. About Impact.
I'm planning on checking it out and giving it a shot for at least one show. If they do something that catches my attention and draws my interest, I'll watch the following one to see if they keep doing it. If not, well, then I just tune them right the fuck back out again.
Speaking of something that makes you go, huh? They hired somebody.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
I can't.
Daddy's little girl can't make it in the recording industry. What do you want to do?
Can I join you in TNA, Dad?
Sure, bro. Come on over, brother.
Daddy, can I have a job?
All you have to do is ask, brother.
What are you calling me, brother?
It's wrestling term.
I'm your daughter.
Like, can I see Hogan calling his daughter brother?
The most overused word in professional wrestling in the indie scene, TNA, or WWE Ring of Honor is brother.
No, I would say Cena wins is another one that's overused.
No, that's only in WWE. That's overused in WWE. Overall, in wrestling, brother is the most overused term ever.
Let me tell you something, dude.
She needs to come out and keep calling everyone sister.
Even Eric Bischoff. Especially Eric Bischoff.
I'm not allowed to use the term Eric Bischoff on TNA anymore, TV.
Oh, okay.
He lost that right.
Gotcha.
If you watch Lockdown, he lost that right to be called Eric Bischoff.
Or just call him the bitch.
Oh.
Brooke
Hogan is now in charge of the Knockouts division, for those wondering what we're talking about, and it goes, I don't know.
Well, here's my question. Is this just some stupid figurehead publicity thing? It really is not going to make a difference?
If she was actually hotly pursuing this singing career she attempted, then I would say, yeah. But she's Hogan's little girl, and so I'll have to say, no, she's there until she gets bored of it.
Well, they wrote Karen Angle out of the same role a few months ago, and they wrote Tracy Brooks out of it, I guess. Somehow, but you know, they always seem to write the characters out of it. It'll be interesting. It got them press on TMZ, so they're happy.
Yeah, true genius.
I know.
You know, Kurt Angle could have driven drunk again and gotten that.
But he's a good guy now. He's not going to be doing all that stuff anymore. He's a good guy.
He didn't drive drunk. Somebody hacked his car.
Anyway, Burke Hogan's in TNA. We'll see how it goes.
Yippee. You know what? You know, talking about Brooke Hogan and TNA and being Daddy's Little Girl, I feel a rant coming on.
Yeah, somebody has bone to pick with her.
Somebody's in trouble and it's not me. Omega, you're dead.
Somebody's in trouble. Omega.
What?
Remember what happened in last week's great debate? Where you picked against Raven.
You said,
Raven.
Fuck you, Mace, or something like that?
Remember when you picked against Raven?
Oh, that.
Would you like to...
He cannot possibly have an argument against that.
Oh, yeah?
Are you sure about that? He sent me a rant.
What? You know what? Let's just hear the rant.
No, I want to... Will you apologize for going against his boy, Omega, before we go to the rant?
One feud put a company over the other, and the other feud did the same. The ECW feud didn't get them anywhere. Fuck you, Mace.
Oh.
I don't believe you actually said that before we heard the rant. Play the damn rant! You people are completely justified in your opinions. Believe it or not, I'm not actually overly upset about the fact that Raven and Sandman did lose out to the WCW NWO feud. It's probably one of the only feuds there that I would have actually voted over the top of this type of thing. It's a shame that none of you actually realize how deep and how well done that Raven and Sandman feud really was. It was definitely a textbook case of how to pull emotional heartstrings, how to use characters that have full potential, how kayfabe was even used outside of the ring. You know, you had Sandman coming to the arenas alone, you had his kid and his wife at the time arriving with Raven, furthering the storyline outside of the ring, and it's just one of those things that I wish was taken into account. But the biggest thing here is longevity. How much do people remember it? Yes, hardcore ECW fans remember it. Anybody who's a fan of Raven or Sandman remember it. But, of course, you can't really take down the impact of the WCW NWO feud. And to be honest, it was the feud that started dragging people into wrestling. It was not Austin and fucking McMahon. I'm sorry, but, you know, you're saying that it's the one that broke this streak and brought the common fan back. No, it didn't. The common fan was already interested at the time. But the thing was, they were more interested in WCW and NWO at the time. And even when Austin McMahon started, it wasn't that big ratings turner. It wasn't until WrestleMania 14 where the whole thing culminated at the first point that it actually was the thing to watch. And people brought up that the WCW-NWO feud kept going on and on and on and on. So did the Austin McMahon stuff. Every month it was Austin McMahon or Austin versus somebody that McMahon was putting in front of him. So, you know, I personally would have called that a tie. There was no way to just go between the two. But in the end, that's the feud's great debate is already over. I believe that we're starting with like the 850,000 people tag tournament this week in what's probably going to be like the next 800 years of this friggin' great debate stuff.
Oops.
Personally, I'm going to tell you now, if it doesn't come down to the Road Warriors, I'm going to spit chips.
Thank you.
Let's face it, they are the best fucking tag team, period.
Thank you.
I believe we even had this great debate before, but I can't remember. We've had so many of them over the years.
This got me
but,
thinking.
Yeah, for those of you who are expecting this big, massive, angry rant, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but in the end, the WCW-NWO feud is probably the only one I would have put over Raven Sandman, but it's only because of how well it's remembered by the general wrestling fan. Personally, I would have liked to have seen Raven Sandman take it out just due to the fact that it is the textbook on storytelling, promo work, in-ring work, and probably some of the most heartfelt moments you will ever see in the world of professional wrestling. But I'll talk about that another time. I'm sure I'll be around sometime. If not, well, then, you know,
Only 2 more weeks until my contract's out. And you know what? I reckon tonight somebody should find a way to get Tim to book the cast of WTR in... I don't know. What would they be like if they were the Expendables or something like that?
No! I'm not gonna do it!
I just want to hear Tim get pissed off.
I love how he can do that.
Believe it or not, no, we don't set this shit up. He just says stuff that he knows is going to push the button just at the right time. Motherfucker, Macy, let me down.
Alright, correct. One little correction, because after hearing his rant a couple few days ago, I went back and looked. Oh, we did the great debate for the greatest tag team of all time.
Yeah, we're going to do something different that nobody else has ever done or is even doing now as we speak.
No, they're not doing it on WWE.com right now. Anyway.
Fucking pricks.
We had this, we thought this last night. And I gotta give Kane Kittens a lot of credit. He gave me a list of 77 different theme songs.
Jesus Christ, Kane Kittens, get a fucking hobby.
Nice, dude.
I quit.
I trimmed it down to 64, added a few of my own in there as well.
Oh, great. So, you brought it down to 64 and raised it up to 90. Fuck.
We're just sticking with 64.
Alright.
It could have been 128. Realistically.
No, it couldn't have.
It could
have. Yeah, no, it really couldn't have. No, Omega, we're talking to Rock here. Yeah, it fucking could have.
It couldn't have. I would have come to Philly and beat him with a brick.
You have no room to complain, sir. You have no room to complain. Not at all. Just don't. I gave you a chance to approve it. You didn't. I could have gave you a list of 128, but you said, that's fine. Oh no, what'd you create?
Oh god.
I'm afraid to look at what you're sending, but I'm gonna look at it anyways, cause I...
But anyway, we're doing...
It's like,
we're doing,
oh shit.
We're doing another great debate. It's gonna be the Field of 64, the greatest entrance theme of all time. Basically, incorporate the entrance, the theme, the reaction.
Fucking would you, too, wouldn't you, Omega?
Good one.
Don't fucking tempt me.
That's actually a really good picture, Omega. Anyway.
We should, like put that up someplace where you can link it to the chat room so they can see it.
I can throw it up on our server and we can link it that way.
Or, what? You know what, you could just, throw it up on Justin TV.
I could. I don't want to, because we're going to do the WTR.
Lazy bastard. You know what? Why don't we just do the WTR Great Debate?
Now step into the ring with us for this week's Great Debate.
Was it Omega in this one?
That was it?
Hey, I didn't have time to put it together today. Shut up.
Well, gee, you know, when you typed out, hey, new, at least you didn't lie and say improved.
I didn't. I said it's new, because last time it had this version had another end to it, but I cut that out.
I see. Well, okay, so, yeah, it's the great debate. Greatest ring entrances of all time.
Reincorporate the reaction the fans get, the theme song, you know, all that fun stuff.
Yeah, so what we're looking at is The Rock, Smell What The Rock Is Cooking, taking on Honky Tonk Man's Cocky, and the other one is Triple H, The Game, taking on Self High Five by DDP. Let's start, Rock, with Triple H versus DDP.
Let's do it. So you guys go. I'll have it in the background.
Time to play the game.
Talk.
I'm about you. Quit talking when I'm about to talk, for crying out loud. I was listening to the song. Shut up.
Okay, fine.
There you go. All right, so Triple H taking on DDP, and we'll throw it to Omega.
It's all about the game.
It's one of Triple H's great staples, going to Motorhead for his music.
Right.
It's a good song. It's got its attitude in there. It is one of the better themes. And you know what? It's getting loud.
Yeah, it's too loud.
I lowered it.
There we go.
I was doing other things too.
Well, you know what? Leave it alone until after the show.
I was throwing in the picture into the general for the people.
Just not saying, well, that's all there is to this. So you're picking Triple H over DDP?
Yeah, in the end, DDP, no. You ripped off Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Here we go, Jackie!
Oh, God, without a doubt, Triple H. I can't think of anyone else who I'm going to vote for over that song. In my opinion, that is the most epic entrance theme ever in the history of professional wrestling.
It was given a number one seed. There's four different brackets. This is the 1-16 matchup in bracket one.
I will vote for nothing over this. Nothing the Undertaker's done, nothing Kane's ever done. That is, in my opinion, the most epic entrance theme ever.
Well, you know, we got a whole thing to go before these guys might even match up. So, like, just pick Triple H over DDP for now.
Did I not make that clear?
You made a little more than that clear. In other words, TMI for now. Crying out loud. All right. Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. DDP got in trouble with what's-his-name from Nirvana because they actually took Smells Like Teen Spirit, changed a couple of chords, and you got the DDP's self-high five. And that anger and pissed offness is still directed towards DDP to this day. It's not original. The game, it's original. Not only is it original, they got one of the iconic heavy metal bands of all time to record the fucking tune. Of course I'm going to choose Triple H's theme.
So Triple H's theme moves on. And now we move on to our next matchup, the 8-9 matchup.
Honky Tonk taking on The Rock.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking.
Jackie, we're going to start with you.
You know, actually, I'm probably the only one to vote this way, but I'm going with Honky Tonk on this one. He's had so many generic versions of the same song The Rock has as his entrance music. I'm kind of just like over all of them. Screw him.
Oh. All right, so believe it or not, 1-0 for Honky Tonk Man, Omega!
I'm voting for Honky Tonk, too.
Oh, my God. You're
kidding. You know what? You know what? Rock's theme, listening to it now, the only reason it's noteworthy is because The Rock walked out to it. It is a generic theme that speaks nothing about him. Honky Tonk's theme, it's fun, it's got personality, and it is Honky Tonk.
It's got a good beat and you can dance to it, eh, Omega? You give it a 65? Just asking.
Great song.
I'm sorry, I'm digging the song.
Yeah. Okay, we're all going to shut up, turn it up a little bit, Rock, for a sec.
I pick a mean guitar, I wear a blue suede, choose your hear me sing the snakeskin blues. I'm just a honky tonk man. I'm just a honky tonk man.
Okay.
I'm cool, I'm cocky, I'm bad.
All right, yeah, honky tonk man cocky. I'm going for that one too. And in case you guys couldn't figure it out, that actually was Wayne Ferris singing it, and Wayne Ferris sang his theme song before Shawn Michaels sang a Heartbreak Kid. His theme song, Sexy Boy, whatever you call it. It is true, yep. And so just another way that Honky Tonk Man innovated before anybody else did. Thank you very much. That wasn't bad. All right, true. So, Rocky, you want to have a vote?
Well, you know, kind of pointless at the moment. And this one's
it's a sweep, man. You want to fuck things up or not?
Come on, Sir Rockin'.
I mean, the Phoenix Coyotes fucked things up, and I had my money on a sweep today, so.
Well, Brock's, you know, the opening to his theme gets people off their feet. That's one reason to vote for it, but he sings his own theme. I gotta go with Honky Tonk Man.
There you go. I'm sure Wayne will be really happy to hear that next time we talk to him.
Yeah.
Jackie thought she'd be alone.
I did.
Yeah. Jackie surprised. Jackie, ice bug out. Look. Oh, wait, those aren't her. Never mind.
Next week in the WTR Greatest Entrance Theme Debate, it's James Storm's Long Neck and Rednecks takes on AJ Styles' I Am.
Uh-oh.
And Trish Stratus' Time to Rock and Roll takes on Mickey James' Obsession.
Okay, Rock, you're going to have to actually play these TNA entrance themes before
Yeah, you're
going
to have to get me a YouTube copy, honey. Yeah.
You know what? You know what, Rock? Let's talk after the show. I've got an idea about the entrance things and what we can do. So there it is. That's the great debate for this week. Next week, regular time for the show because there's no pay-per-view.
Right.
So
right.
The great debate will probably wind up being at the exact same time it is right now.
Right. This is where we now have another...
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, Chris.
Welcome. Yeah.
Anyway, Omega, I have a little audio to play for you before we get in the quick hits.
Oh? Uh-oh.
This happened last night on CB Radio, and Will has a question for you.
Why would you not want to dress up as Princess Leia? See, I know I have the figure to at least pull off that metal bikini, okay?
And it was Slave Leia even, yeah.
Yeah, see, there you go. See, I'm... Come on, Omega. I've seen him. He's got long hair. He can do the cinnamon buns if he wanted to.
Your reply, Omega.
He's like, fuck you.
Will?
You'll
keep your eye, keep the eye on the mail for the restraining order.
Somebody's
in
trouble.
You know what? I don't care if you can rock the Slave Leia outfit. You are still a concubine for a space slug.
Okay. Okay. Wow.
Hashtag blame Will. Trending worldwide.
There you go. All right. Hey, you know what? Isn't it time for quick hits?
That one is.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Russell Talk Radio quick hits.
All right, Rock, before you take off and get to it, I just want to address Wrestling Fanatic's chat room. Wrestling Fanatic, you got to keep in mind that it was a WWE pay-per-view tonight, so it's WWE heavy talk. Next week, you know, we'll touch on TNA a little bit more. Relax. Don't get all upset or nothing, because we like you coming back and pissing off Kane Kittens in the chat room. I'm disappointed in both you guys, by the way. Not one fight tonight in the chat. But come on, gloves off. Get with it. Omega, that three quick hit was our attempt at doing what WWE did tonight.
Oh, to tease them into coming on for the full segment?
That's exactly right. So we'll just let Rock ask some stupid questions.
All right. So no one gets to hear the answers until they pay up their $4.99.
Not $5. They are eliminating the penny in Canada, and we're rounding up to $5.
So let's start with Jackie.
Oh, for pity's sake.
Jackie, who was the best dancer in wrestling history?
The Miz!
Oh, my goodness, the best dancer in wrestling history. Wow. You know, I remember being 16, 17 years old and being extremely impressed watching Shawn Michaels strip down out of his outfit he came to the ring in and dance around. Looked pretty damn good to me. I'll go with Shawn Michaels.
Tim, if you were a rapper, what would your rapper name be?
Oh.
What? A rapper?
Yeah.
MCTJ.
What?
I used to be a nightclub disc jockey. No, Omega, I wasn't referring to your real name's initials. I used to be a nightclub disc jockey, so that's where the MC part would come in. And my nickname in high school was TJ. So, MCTJ.
Okay.
Well, fuck you then, Rock.
How about CJ?
No, yeah. I wouldn't say not CJ, because that's the name of a radio station here in Calgary, CJ92 FM.
MC Canadian Jew?
I'm not a Jew. Would you guys get off of it and get over it?
All right, let's go to Omega. Omega.
There's only one Jew on the air right now, and he's the one asking the fucking questions. Omega!
Omega.
Rock has a question for you.
Does he?
I do.
Yeah, he does.
Omega, this was a talked about question between me and Lindsay, and we want to know, do you consider yourself to be the Marsha Brady of the Wild Talk Radio Network?
Omega, Omega, Omega.
Don't feel like everything is about me.
Do you feel
I am
like
but a cog in
you?
A great machine.
You're so full of shit.
No,
he doesn't think everything is about him. He knows everything is about him.
I'm just waiting for the day when I take a football to the nose.
Omega, Omega, Omega.
Well, sure, I do it and I hear crickets, and then she does it and expects everybody, oh, that was so cute that she did that. Fuck you.
Well, she wasn't trying to do a female voice.
Yeah, I kind of do that.
It's built in.
Shut up.
Jackie. If Tim were a sex toy, what type of sex toy would he be in life?
What the fuck?
Oh, okay. I am now flashing back to a class I took called Women at Work in the Sex Industry, thinking about a catalog I went through.
Why do you have to ask her this one? Jesus Christ.
And I'm remembering something called a Puerto Rican transvestite love doll.
What?
Tim would definitely be a Puerto Rican transvestite blow-up love doll.
Yeah, fuck you too. Bitch.
Oh, come on, Tim. The thing was hung like a horse.
Oh, I am naturally, but fuck off with the transvestite bullshit.
And it was really cute the way the mouth stayed open, like, all the time. It had the perfect little O on it.
Okay.
And the little pigtails with the pink bows, like the blonde kind of, like, hair. It was classic.
Jackie, shut up.
You want us to go back to the Jew jokes?
So, Tim, you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to cast anyone into a TV show or a movie tonight, right?
Oh, fuck. Now what?
If Jackie were a sex toy, what type of sex toy would she be and why?
Can you not ever recycle your fucking questions? Jesus. You're slacking off. Really, seriously.
Oh, you complain about every goddamn question I ask you.
Well, it's because the same fucking questions all the time.
Well, this is revenge. You know.
Revenge?
She just called you a transvestite doll.
Still. What kind of sex toy would she be? Oh, fuck. Anal beads. Because half the time I find she's full of shit anyway.
Oh. I put all that work into it, and I'm fucking anal beads.
Well, I see them like yours. Mine makes more sense.
I'm going to have to go back now and see if I can find a picture of that doll.
So, Omega.
Uh-huh.
Take a listen to this question for you.
So, Omega, if you had to come up with a good name for Kate's penis, what would it be?
I couldn't get that question.
What?
Play it one more time, Rock?
No, no. If you could come up with a good name for Kane's penis, what would it be and why?
The Towering Inferno.
Oh. That wasn't good. He didn't suffer at all.
That's because that one was easy. I have a tall fire pun ready for the making.
So yeah, there you go. That wasn't too bad tonight, was it, Omega?
No.
Okay.
Softball.
Hey, we talked about Kane's penis about a lot for an hour and a half on CB Radio last night.
Yeah,
and it's Lindsay and Jackie, so I'm sure it wasn't soft.
No, we didn't start that. Swear to God.
Did
that
you finish
was Bill. No, because Kane Kittens kept it going on Twitter for a while after the show went off the air. You cannot blame Lindsay and I this time.
Hashtag blame Will. But follow Kane Kittens on Twitter. I think it's Kane Kittens, or is it Kane Kitten? I don't remember.
I think it's Kane Kittens.
Either way, put your Twitter handle in the chat room. We'll plug it one more time. But yeah, he came up with some interesting ways to use the word penis.
Yeah, and now Will's wanting to try to get to take a marker board, a white marker board, to a SmackDown taping in his city, and thinks he's going to be able to get Kane's penis on that marker board on TV.
Kane Kittens on Twitter, follow him.
And everyone is still going to blame us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Exactly what's going to happen.
They're just going to edit it out, unfortunately.
I think that, yeah, that's enough for tonight. To hell with this. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed the show. We, for the most part, enjoyed bringing you what we jokingly refer to as entertainment. Monday night, the Raw post show. Join The Rock with, I don't know, some broad talking about what happened on Raw.
Two broads, actually.
Two.
Oh, you're both going to be there? Cool. That works.
Yes.
Pay attention to the product.
Listen to our shows, Tim.
I have a hard time paying attention to you fuckers because I don't like you very much. Anyway, yeah, so Monday night, right after Raw, which will be 9:30 Mountain Time, or 11:30 Eastern for those of you who can't figure out math. Tuesday night, normally Alan takes to the air, but he's got a birthday party to do.
A recital. So. He has to go to a recital.
So he's going to go and sing on stage with a bunch of other third graders.
Yes.
Yeah, could you imagine Alan Wojcik singing? No.
I can imagine you singing, Tim.
I don't think you need to imagine, and I really don't think you need to fucking bring it up either. Wednesday night.
Jesus Christ.
Just another goddamn wrestling show, 8:30 Eastern. Join the guys as they rant, rave, bitch, whine, moan, complain, and generally make you laugh with their stupid jokes. Thursday night, special edition. Jackie?
Special edition?
You should plug Alan first.
Oh, damn. Yeah. Alan's coming to Thursdays this week. I still don't know why Lindsay aired on Tuesdays, but yes, Alan is joining us on Thursdays.
Because the producer wants a day off.
Oh, he's just the producer. Yeah. Alan's going to be joining us on Thursdays, and it's going to be fun, and yeah. So, they don't tell me this stuff, and they want me to plug it on the air.
I was more like Tim should have plugged it first and sent it to you, because he's the professional and should be knowing what to do. But Kayfabe's at 9 p.m. Eastern. The Rack with Lindsay and Jackie's at 11 p.m. Eastern. Send us email, media at Wild Talk Radio Network. Give us your ideas for rebooking the walkout of 2011 between CM Punk and with the whole Triple H storyline. As everyone walked out, give us your ideas, media at wildtalkradio.com. We will talk about them on the air, just like Wrestling Fanatic did last week for us. Send them in.
Yeah. And then Saturday night, because, fuck, nothing happens on Fridays. Midnight, or as close as they can get it, another edition of CB Radio, where they might just wind up talking about, oh, I don't know, Vince McMahon's ass for a change.
No, I think we should continue on with Kane's penis.
Well, of course you think that. You and Lindsay can talk about Kane's penis all week long, all you want with each other. We don't need to hear it.
Hold on. It started, we talked movies, we talked weird news, including how two drunk guys had McDonald's, didn't like the onions on their McDonald's cheeseburgers, went back to McDonald's, threw bricks into the McDonald's walls and glass and windows. Yeah, true story. Then we talked, Will showed up, we talked about things in the WWE vault. Slow motion of, you know, the slow motion cameras of Brodus Clay jiggling.
Oh, God.
Really?
And then we got the King's Beans. Super Radio. It's weird.
Why do I get the feeling with Lindsay and Jackie around now, Kane's penis is going to become the new Lita joke?
Okay, that just brings a third joke that you don't need to come up with.
Kane's
No. And just to reset the bar, this is Lita, Amy Dumas, the woman who keeps a taxi cab meter on her headboard.
Ooh.
So yeah, weird, wacky, unusual. It's CB Radio. Saturday nights and all that fun stuff. Midnight-ish.
Yeah, and of course, next Sunday night, back at his regular time, is another edition of Rust Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, I might not be here.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, Shecky Darns. I actually have to leave town on Wednesday for work. I'll be gone for 5 days. I work until Sunday, and then I got to drive back to Calgary. Now, I'm going almost all the way over to the Saskatchewan border, and that's several hours away. I'm going to try to make the show, but if I don't, well, then you guys will probably have just a wonderful time realizing I'm not here.
Probably.
Thanks for that. Really appreciate it. Hey, everybody, thanks for joining us. Have a good night.
No, we're not done.
We're not done.
No. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, TJ Omega on Twitter, Canadian All Pro on Twitter, Linz Ward on Twitter, Jackie Feist on Twitter. Support iBlack.com, support BotchMerch.com. They just put out new t-shirts. Go to BotchMerch.com and check them out right now. New t-shirts.
Hey, where can I get a new t-shirt?
BotchMerch.com.
There you go.
There you go. Everybody, thanks for joining. Yeah, check out the website. If you support our sponsors, they support us. They keep coming back, and they keep allowing us to bring you stuff that we don't charge you $4.99 a week for. Have a great week. See you again. Bye.
Bye.
We can actually legitimately say, buy the t-shirt! Buy it now!
Buy two.
WatchMerch.com.
TJ Omega.org.
WildTalkRadio.com.